ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ रीडिंग फ्रॉम भगवद गीता एज इट इज चैप्टर 10 टेक्स्ट नंबर 6। दिस चैप्टर इज एंटाइटल्ड एज द ऑपुलेंस ऑफ द एब्सोल्यूट। महर्षयः सप्त पूर्वे चत्वारो मनवस्तथा मद्भावा मानसा जाता एषां लोक इमः प्रजाः। ट्रांसलेशन एंड कमेंट्री पर्पोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। सेवन फॉर देम द फोर अदर ग्रेट सेजेस एंड द मनुज प्रोजेनिटर्स ऑफ मैनकाइंड come from me, born from my mind, and all the living beings populating the various planets descend from them. Purport. The Lord is giving genealogical synopsis of the universal population. Brahma is the original creature born out of the energy of the Supreme Lord, who is known as Hiranyagarbha. And from Brahma, all the seven great sages, and before them four other great sages, all the seven great sages, Sanak, Sanandan, Sanatan, and Sanat Kumar, and the Manus are manifested. All these 25 great sages are known as the patriarchs of the living entities all over the universe. These are innumerable universes. There are innumerable universes and innumerable planets within each universe, and each planet is full of population of different varieties. All of them are born of these 25 patriarchs. Brahma underwent penances for 1,000 years of the demigods before he realized by the grace of Krishna how to create. Then from Brahma came Sanak, Sanand, Sanatan, and Sanat Kumar, then Rudra, and then seven sages. And in this way, all the Brahmanas and the Kshatriyas are born out of the energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Brahma is known as Pitamaha, the grandfather. And Krishna is known as Prapitamaha, the father of the grandfather. That is stated in the 11th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. Om Ajnana Timirandas. So this is a preparation wherein Krishna is leading to Arjuna to the famous Chatushloki verses, beginning with Aham Sarvasya Prabhavo Matta Sarvam Pravartate Iti Matva Bhajante Ma Buddha Bhava Samanvita. That everything material and spiritual emanates from me, emanates from Krishna. And it says, those who know this wise worship me. That is the beginning of the four verses of the Chatushloki Gita, how everything comes from the Lord. Now this verse, wherein Krishna is speaking to Arjuna about the progenitors, the Manus, the sages, how they are the forefathers, the head of the family, patriarchs means the head of the family. Now in the Niti, or also this verse is quoted, Ayam nija paro vetti ganana lagu chetasa. This is my property and this is somebody else's property. Ganana means calculation, lagu chetasa means those people whose intelligence is very limited, lagu chetasa. Udara charitanam tu, but udara charitanam, those character who are magnanimous, liberal, what is their understanding? Vasudaiva kutumbakam. That everybody in this world is part of the same family. Therefore, how does one know who is God conscious? How does one know who is Krishna conscious? It is not depending upon the process what we practice. Yes, that is important. Krishna conscious process and the effect of that process is the same. But as a science, one can see from the effects point of view. Effect is that the ability to see God consciousness in others' practice. If someone is not practicing as we are practicing, the tendency is to see difference. Oh, they are different. They don't have this process. That shows they lack the ability from this very verse. Because nowhere in the Bhagavad Gita, nowhere in the Bhagavatam, Krishna creates a sect. This is what God consciousness means, and this is not God consciousness. That liberal attitude, liberal perception, liberal perspective is to see the God consciousness in somebody else's process also. If one can reach to that level, one of the great acharyas of Gaudiya Sampradaya, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, explains there are two kinds of God conscious people. Those who are like ass and those who are like swan. Ass means a very gross discrimination based upon bodily identity. If I am Indian, that means my process is the best. Because I am born in India, that means everything is great. Somebody else will say, oh, because I am born in other part of the world, I am the best. That is Laghu Chetasam. Now, this is mine and this is not mine, therefore it is not good. Udara Charitanam. And Udara Charitanam means liberal. Liberal in approach. Therefore Krishna nowhere he talks, I am only for the Hindus. I am not for the Christians. I am not for the Muslims. Therefore if somebody wants to look for secular approach, the best approach is given in the Bhagavad Gita only. Because Krishna never says, I am only meant for certain class of people. Rather, in the 9th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains, Mamhi partha vipashita tepi shive papa yonayo. Then, my dear Arjun, that I am for everybody. He categorizes, I am for this, I am for this. When we study the character of the lowest class of people, and the facility for them to achieve perfection, what does it indicate when Krishna says, Striyo vaishvastata shudra tepi yanti param gatim? Now this is not Krishna's conclusion. Krishna is not saying that Striyo vaishvastata shudra, they are low. Now this is the general understanding. Now there is one Vedic understanding and there is a common practice. A common practice cannot be considered as Shastra. Sometimes we condemn Kali Yuga. Oh, Kali Yuga is becoming so bad. But in Satya, Treta, Dwapara also there were condemned people. Today Gaurangpur was talking about human fetus, people who try to consume human fetus. Now in Rama and Ravan tells Mother Sita, I will have you as breakfast. So these kind of people are existing in the previous ages also. Somebody said, why all the incarnation came in this world only, this part of the world in India? Because most demonic people appeared here only. Hiranyakashipu did not appear in America or London. Hiranyaksha did not appear. They appeared here. So therefore we see the greatest evil attracts greatest good also. So we have the choice to be greatest evil or we have the choice to be greatest good. So age does not make any difference. One can see Satya in Kali Yuga and one can read Kali in Satya Yuga. So therefore, when someone develops that strong discrimination which benefits our spiritual culture, then that is called as progressive. Therefore, this is a very important chapter. The 10th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita is a very important chapter because Krishna is teaching Arjuna. Arjuna raised this question. He's going to raise this question. Keshu keshu cha bhaveshu chintosi bhagavan maya. My dear Lord, very interesting question. We make clear distinction. This is matter, this is spirit. Someone who is advanced in God consciousness, he can see spirit in matter and he can see matter in spiritual practices. Just because something takes the name of spirituality doesn't mean it is spiritual. Just because something takes the name of matter, it doesn't mean that it is fully matter. Therefore, Arjuna raised this question, dear Krishna, Hare Krishna. Yeah. So Arjuna asked this question, my dear Lord, how can I see you in this whole material manifestation? Because to see God, we have a specific understanding of seeing God. What is that understanding? You know, there is a personality. Of course, the Lord is a person who has got a transcendental form. That is a limited understanding. Beyond that, how can I see that same Lord in all other manifestation? Therefore, a devotee is called as Hamsa. Param Hamsa Paribrajakacharya Stotarshat. When we glorify the great devotees of the Lord, they are glorified as Paramahamsa. What is this Paramahamsa? Great swan. Now the word Sanskrit Paramahamsa means, it talks about the nature of swan. The nature of swan is that, just see how God shows through material manifestation the understanding of spiritual culture also. The swan has the nature to extract milk from the water. Or there is a mixture of water and milk, the swan will only collect the milk and leave the water. That is called as swan, extracting, making a distinction. This is not milk and this is pure milk. Similarly, Prabhupada says, why a devotee is called as Paramahamsa? He lives in the material world, but he can extract spiritual from the matter. Therefore, Arjuna asks this question, Keshu keshu cha bhaveshu chintosi bhagavan maya. My dear Lord, how can I see, how can I understand, how can I know, how can I experience you while seeing gross materialistic manifestation? That is Hamsa-like devotee, not ass-like devotee. Ass-like devotee means what? Gross discrimination. If you don't look like me, if you don't wear clothes like me, if you don't have tilak like me, if you don't have kantimala like me, if you don't have bead bag like me, if you don't worship the God who looks like my God, that means you're not God conscious. Therefore, the practice which has been given to us by our acharyas, our predecessor acharyas, has to lead us to this conclusion. When Prabhupada was in some place, and he heard azan. I think he was in Iran. When he heard the azan, he stopped. And he said, this is the sign of God consciousness. He stood there, he heard, he respected. What does it indicate? The ability to see his God in something else which is not his regular practice. So therefore, when Krishna is speaking this part, the patriarchs, the great head of the families, the Manus, the progenitors, the four Kumaras, how the whole material manifestation is coming from them. It shows the family lineage is vast and wide. It is not only Patil family belongs to me because I am Patil. Patel family belongs to me because I am Patel. Now Patil, Patel, everybody belongs to the same family, the Brahma family. Why? Because he is the original creator, empowered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that is the tendency of Bhagavad Gita. What is the tendency of Bhagavad Gita? Krishna is teaching the perception, such a perception to Arjuna, that his vision becomes expansive, limitlessly expansive. That is Bhagavad Gita. So therefore, Bhagavad Gita is the most secular. Controlling something, like in the 11th canto of the Bhagavad, there is a Bhumi Gita. Just like there is a Bhagavad Gita, there is a song by Mother Bhumi. And she is singing this song. You know, talking about different kinds of king coming to this world. You know, declaring their proprietorship over her. And calling themselves as Bhumipati. Bhumipati means what? Bhumipati means one who is the husband of Bhumi. Simple question is raised. If you are Bhumipati, when you die, have you ever seen Bhumi going for Sati? Bhumi never goes for Sati. She does not enter into the fire along with that Bhumipati. She continues to exist. She never claims that you are my Pati, but one who stays for some time, he calls himself as a Bhumipati, taking a wrong position. He dies and Bhumi continues to live. You make border, but there is no border for Bhumi. Like I remember, we were in Amritsar. There is a Wagha border. They have a nice show every day. Thousands of people come there. It's a fixed match. You know, sometime they call out, Jille Jille Pakistan. You know, they scream like that. And Indian people scream, chanting their nation's glory. And when people are sitting, there is an artificial border created in 1947. There is an artificial border which was one land. Now, sometime when we were children, we would wonder, how does, you know, Pakistan look like? It looks the same. This side also there is a wheat field, that side also there is a wheat field, but there is an artificial border created by both countries. So I remember we were sitting on this side watching the fun, and suddenly a few crows were flying over us from India to Pakistan. Nobody was stopping them. See, the restriction is for the human beings. And there is no restriction for the animals. They can easily fly this side and that side. Nobody calls them traitor. Oh, this is a Pakistani crow. Shoot it. Oh, this is an Indian crow. Shoot it. There is no such thing. Why? Because even the animals, even the birds, when they live like animals, they live like animals. Wherever there is food, wherever there is water, wherever there is friends, they migrate. From place to place, from place to place, from place to place. Therefore, Prabhupada said, when you would come to the airport, immigration office. And Prabhupada said, immigration office means barking dogs. He was too blunt because they would trouble him so much. He is a sadhu. What will he gain from going to other countries? What will he sell? He had not gone as a businessman. He had not gone as a spy. He was going to give the message of Bhagavad Gita, which teaches no border. Universal family. But they would stop. What is your business here? Why have you come here? And they would check his bag. They would find out if something wrong items he is bringing. And then Prabhupada would start, go back to his place, start the lecture and saying, yes, we were harassed by the barking dogs called immigration officers. Very blunt. Why? Because he was speaking from the Krishna conscious perspective. So therefore, this understanding, what Krishna is speaking in the Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna, this understanding is the only understanding. Why only understanding? Because it is not sectarian. Like someone said, this is not, again, trying to see wrong in others, but we are discussing philosophy. It is much easier for a student of Bhagavad Gita, a proper student of Bhagavad Gita, to appreciate God consciousness in other religion also. Very easily. He can do it. When somebody asked Prabhupada, who is Jesus Christ for you? He said, he is our guru. He could see. But someone, one of the greatest saint who stayed in India for all these years, one French journalist, he asked this simple question. This lady never ever appreciated Indian culture. Never ever said the Bhagavad Gita is also a very good book. Why? Because when the religion becomes very exclusive, that there is a form. What is the form? We can only approach God through this personality. Jesus is the only way. That becomes very exclusive. Nowhere in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says only through me. He says, through me you can come to my planet. Through demigods, you can go to their planets. Through ghosts, you can go to their planets. And then Krishna does not stop there. He said, demigod worship, if somebody worships the demigod, he is not denying that. Rather says that is an indirect worship. There are two kinds of extremes, extreme path. One is exclusivity. Only this way. And there is another path. Yatama tatopad. Any path is the same path. Both are same side. They are the two sides of the same coin. Both are bad. Both extremes. One is very liberal extreme. That anything you do, you know, you achieve the same path. Or nothing but this one, you'll achieve the perfection. Both are wrong. Krishna does not recommend that. What does Krishna recommend? Krishna recommends the balanced approach. He recommends the balanced approach. You can go directly going through the lift or going through the staircase. Gradually, progression. Slowly, slowly achieving perfection. So therefore, we see here Krishna in this Bhagavad Gita speaking to Arjuna the whole genealogical table beginning from Brahmaji. Like someone said, now how do you know? People sometimes ask, is it possible to practice God consciousness on the other side of the world? Can we practice Krishna consciousness in a place where Vedic culture was not established? According to Prabhupada, Vedic culture was everywhere. All over the world, Vedic culture was there. Parikshit Maharaj was the king for the entire creation, entire earth planet. So in that sense, at one point of time, Vedic culture was there everywhere. But because of the influence of time factor, now Vedic culture is becoming less and less available in less and less places and as watered down as possible. You can't go to one place and say, oh, here we can practice Vedic culture. You see hardly any signs of Vedic culture. But still Vedic culture was there. So if one can practice Vedic culture in that atmosphere also, where the facility is not there, he's actually living in the spiritual world. So one can easily practice Krishna consciousness. When Vamandev was measuring the universe, it is not that he only measured the land of India. He measured the entire universe. So wherever his foot, you know, was placed, that whole place became very purified. So wherever Vamandev placed his foot, that is Tirtha. And to practice one's God consciousness in that place has to be favorable. It cannot be unfavorable. Therefore, practice of God consciousness does not require a specific gross place. What requires is a spiritual disposition. If that spiritual disposition is there, as taught by Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, in this very chapter, then you can practice Krishna consciousness everywhere. That doesn't mean that one justifies being in a wrong place, which is known to be wrong, and purposefully going to that place and thinking that here I can practice God consciousness. Therefore, stretching Vedic philosophy for justifying becomes mundane. Now we see in the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is speaking to Arjun that we are not this body, we are spirit soul. Now a murderer can hear this, we are not this body and we are spirit soul, and use this for being a serial killer. Can you say he is practicing Bhagavad Gita? He is not practicing Bhagavad Gita. Why? Because he is using Vedantic philosophy for a wrong purpose. And someone may not understand Vedic philosophy, but some or other is practicing that. That means he is practicing Vedanta. in the Mahabharat, there is a description between, there is a discussion between Karna and Shalya. There is a large, long discussion wherein Karna targets the people of Shalya's kingdom. You know, people from your country are this, your people from your country are... He talks about ill behavior of these people. Karna speaks to Shalya. And Shalya says, come on, that is wrong on your part. He said, because in every place there are good and bad people. Historically I proved that Hiranyakashipu existed here, Hiranyaksha existed here, Kamsa existed here, Ravan existed here. You know, you have so many demons existed here. And then eventually demons existed in the same family. So therefore to say this place is pure and other place is totally impure is ashastric and not proper history also. That's a very important point what we are discussing. Now what is the important point? Important point is that Krishna consciousness is not a sectarian thing. The process is there, we chant Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. We chant Hare Krishna, we worship the deities, we have certain style, certain behavior, certain attire which identifies us. Just like any school can decide to have certain kinds of school uniform. Now it is not there in the Shastra. It is not there. This particular uniform is mentioned in the Shastra. That is the policy adapted by the school. It is applicable to the school. When the child comes out of the school and sees other children not wearing that uniform, the child can't say, label them out, oh, these are bad children. They don't follow the rules of the school. They are not afraid of our teacher. They are not afraid of our principal. So the child cannot blame because they are not part of your school. They are from another school. They are following another principle, which ultimately leads to them to the same principle what you are learning. Discipline, proper behavior, proper attire, and then education. So similarly, God cannot be exclusively giving some exclusive kind of process to some exclusive people. Doesn't make sense. It doesn't make any sense. According to where you are situated, according to what is your background, the Lord provides certain facilities for everybody to approach the highest perfection. And at the same time, in the Vedic literature, he gives a very specific definition of understanding a personal God. In the Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada says, in the Bhagavad Gita and the Bhagavatam, there is a specific name of God, there is a specific address of God where he stays, there is a specific descriptions of residential quarters. Not only that, there is a specific activities what he performs, what kind of pastimes he performs. You may have the information. Sometime one may have the information, but not the inclination to practice. If somebody is a diseased person, somebody gives him the medicine without knowing the prescription. You don't know the disease, but somebody gives you the prescription. Accidentally, that prescription happens to be curing your disease. And you take the medicine. It works for you. And someone has the prescription. His disease has been diagnosed, but he does not take the medicine. You think the medicine will work? Medicine is sitting in your cupboard. Your disease is sitting in your body. So this medicine which is sitting in your cupboard cannot cure disease which is sitting in your body. You have to take the medicine. There is no question. There is no reason to boast about it. Oh, I got the best medicine. But you have got the best of the disease also. Unless you take the medicine, the disease cannot be cured. So we see, the tattva is there, the understanding is there, but the application is not there, then useless. Application is there, but the understanding is not there, but then the legacy will not be there. Why? Legacy was destroyed in India because people applied without getting proper information. And eventually, the application remained in a very mechanical form, losing its spirit. And when the application is practiced without the spirit, eventually application is practiced in a distorted manner. And the distorted manner becomes the process, and the process is forgotten. We discussed this last week also. The distorted thing becomes the process, and the process is forgotten, and the distorted thing does not satisfy the heart. It does not create proper effect. When it does not cause proper effect, those who have got some intelligence, those who are wise, those who are civilized, they say, why should I accept this? Because this very process, which is supposed to cause satisfaction, which is supposed to cause enlightenment, which is supposed to cause inspiration, is causing confusion, conflict and violence. Why should I accept this process? So the distorted process which causes violence is challenged by the intellectual class, and at the same time, they do not approach those who have the process and the information why the process has to be practiced. Therefore, the parampara system is there. What is the parampara system? The parampara system is the system where the information and the practice is carried forward in a very dynamic way, maintaining the essence. Therefore, in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Srila Rupa Goswami explains that approaching a bona fide teacher, a bona fide spiritual master, is like opening the door. Unless you open the door, it doesn't matter even if you know there is a unlimited treasury. You don't enjoy it. The treasury is there. Like many people have many stories in Jagannath temple or in Ranganath temple, in Tirupati temple or in this temple or that temple. There is always hidden treasury. Limitless wealth. And very fascinating to hear this kind of story. Why? Because it's a fascinating story because there is no proper evidence. So hidden treasury as good as having no treasury. Just like you may have a sack of books in your library. All varieties of books. But if you don't read books, it is as good as having no books. It is sitting there, but we don't read the books. Therefore, one should not feel satisfied. I got so many books, but do you read them? No, I don't read. It is there, including the plastic cover. I have not removed it. It is as good as not reading the book. Illiterate and one who does not read the book, they are same. There is not, they are not different. So here, therefore, information and the process has to go hand in hand. And that is the beauty of Bhagavad Gita. The beauty of Bhagavad Gita when Krishna says, Raja Vidya, Raja Guhyam. Now what is this Guhyam? Guhyam is not simply a secret. Secret means, you know, you take somebody in the corner and do, you know, whispers in his ears. I know this one. I'm only sharing with you. Others will not come to know. You know, please hold it in your heart. Don't tell it to others. It's a very rare secret. Now that secret is not defined by Krishna like this. A secret means advanced science. Advanced science requires great study and rigorous inclination. Otherwise, how can we call Bhagavad Gita a secret when it is available everywhere? This very verse which Krishna says, Raja Vidya, Raja Guhyam, is available to you, available to me, available to everybody else. Rest of the Bhagavad Gita is also available to everybody. But what Krishna is saying here, it is advanced science. Just like one of our devotees, Hridayananda Maharaj, gives this explanation that there are certain jobs anybody can do. Anybody can do that job. Large number of people are there to do that kind of job. But there are certain jobs only few people can do it. Extremely rare. Very rare people can do it. Why? Because there is advanced training given to them. Just like Marine. In America, there are Marines, army people. They are specially trained. All kind of training is given to them. They are given army training, they are given air force training, they are given navy training. Only in special situation they come, like India's commando training. They are specially trained. You can't find them everywhere. Not every police is a commando. But every commando can act as a police. He is given that training also. Understand? So therefore, we see that here Krishna is talking about Bhagavad Gita, that some knowledge is common, but some knowledge requires greater depth. And Bhagavad Gita is that. But what is the way to achieve it? How do you achieve that knowledge? Not that you have to convert yourself. Today, from today onwards, you accept that Krishna is your God. I accept Krishna is my God. Okay, then you are stamped, you are baptized. You know, because you have accepted Krishna as your God, you remove all of the pictures and place Krishna's locket in your neck and you roam around and you can tattoo also with Krishna's picture. From today onwards, when you are a follower of Krishna. It doesn't work like that. Like one lady asked Srila Prabhupada, she said, Prabhupada, can you give me one instruction? Prabhupada gave her instruction, let Hare Krishna always be on your lips. Now she literally took it, she tattooed her lips. She actually tattooed her lips. Hare Krishna mantra was tattooed on her lips. Now that was not the instruction Prabhupada gave. Prabhupada said, let Hare Krishna mantra be always on your lips. You know what? He expected her to chant, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. But she took it literally. So here Krishna is saying, secret of knowledge, how do you understand? Not simply by physically converting. Rather, Krishna says, this knowledge can be understood, the secret of knowledge, if you are non-envious. Psychologically, it is said when you are envious, the power of cognitive, the power of understanding is lost. When you are angry, when you are depressed, when you are aggressive, when you are violent, when you are greedy, these kind of qualities, what does it do? It covers the quality of cognitivity. The knowing quality is covered over. Therefore, even though it's very easy, like one man came to Srila Prabhupada and Prabhupada tried to explain to him the basic Krishna conscious philosophy of how we are not this body, we are spirit soul. Anybody can understand with a simple logic, with a common sense logic. You don't need a scripture also. Still, you could not understand. Prabhupada said, forget. He said, just give him a rasgulla. There was a rasgulla Mahaprasad. They gave him a rasgulla Mahaprasad. He ate that rasgulla Mahaprasad. He liked it. He said, can I get one more to carry home? Prabhupada said, eat here. Why you want to carry it? He said, I want to put it in my rum. He wanted to put that rasgulla in his rum. That was the level of his intelligence. He could not understand the value of Mahaprasad also. He liked it. Therefore, he said, let me experiment in a different way. Putting this rasgulla in a rum. Prabhupada said, you know, what kind of people we have to deal with. So here, when Krishna says, guhyam, that secret knowledge, what does it require? Non-envy. Non-envy means what? When you are non-envy, the understanding becomes very easy. The receptivity becomes very easy. Why Duryodhana could not understand, even after seeing Krishna? Not only saw Krishna, he saw Krishna's different manifestations. He saw Krishna with two hands. He saw angry Krishna. He saw smiling Krishna. He saw diplomatic Krishna. Can you imagine good fortune of Arjun? Good fortune of Duryodhana? All different kind of manifestation we read in the Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. And if you have some liking for Krishna, we get fascinated. And Duryodhana could have such kind of variety of Krishna. And eventually, just before the battle, he could see Krishna's not so beautiful, the universal, the partial universal form, still he could not understand. Why he could not understand? Because there was ambition. There was material ambition. There was envy against the Pandavas. There was greed. There was anger. Therefore, the power of understanding was totally covered over. So therefore, that secret was moving around Duryodhana all over. He couldn't catch it. He couldn't grasp it. On the other hand, in Lord Chaitanya's pastime, the Shivas Thakur's washerman, he belonged to some other community who was not practicing any Vedic rituals, he saw Lord Chaitanya coming out from Shiva Thakur's house. And what did he see? What did he say? He said, I have seen. What did he see? Not that he saw only Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu move around. He saw Lord Chaitanya as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who gave him that understanding. He was stupid materially, but he was free from envy. Therefore, this is a scientific. It is a guhyatamam. Nowhere Krishna says, only if you are Hindu, you can understand me. In fact, most Hindus don't understand Krishna. They are confused about Krishna. If anybody blasphemes Krishna, yes, others may say, but their limited understanding can only give them limited blasphemy. But being born in a Vedic family and having a wrong understanding of Krishna to such an extent, it surprises everybody. Anything what Krishna does, you know, just see, people have, it makes you wonder that you have hundreds of fault in Krishna and Ravan is good. And who is doing it? Some Iyengar, some Iyer, some Barve, you know, some Bhattacharya. Who are these? They're all Brahmanas. And these people, they can glorify Ravan, justify Ravana's activity and find hundreds of fault in Krishna and Ram. And they're who? They're born in the Vedic family. How does it happen? It happens because there is envy. There is lack of inclination to approach the endeavor of learning the advanced science. When there is lack of endeavor in learning advanced science, then you can easily defend Ravan. There is nothing good in Ravan. The most chaste wife of Ravan, Mandodari, could have divorced 100 times Ravan. And after all, she was not from a family of human beings. You know, there were demons, rakshasas, demoniac. When Ravan talks about eating human being as breakfast, no, she had all the rights to quit her husband, Ravan. But she continued to remain chaste. She continued to stay with him. And what does Mandodari says about Ravan? Mandodari, who stayed with Ravan all along as a duty, if you read Ramayana, at the end of Ramayana, she condemns Ravan. She condemns Ravan by saying, you have become food to the birds and the hogs and the jackals and the vultures. Who is saying it? His very wife, who did not quit him. She continued to serve him, continued to guide him. When his own wife, when his own brother, what to speak of? Forget Mandodari and forget Vibhishan. Kumbhakarna was always sleepy. Not sleepy, he would sleep. Very rarely would wake up. Now, what was Kumbhakarna's approach? When he heard what Ravana had done, he said, when you did it, you did not ask us. You have done a stupid act. You should have not done this. This is wrong on your part. You have kidnapped Mother Sita. He said, you are a fool. Kumbhakarna said that to Ravan. But then after all, he's a demon. He's a Rakshasa. He said that. He said, don't worry. I will handle the case. I'll solve problem for you. Who he chastised. He did not approve the behavior of Ravan. Of course, because he was the brother of Ravan, he showed his loyalty, laid down his life. But his understanding was there that what you have done is wrong. If people from his own family can find so many faults with Ravan, and here there are scholars, they write books, how Ravan is good. Ravan ki shakti dekhi, bhakti nahi dekha. It was telecasted everywhere and people are watching it. And then, try to find faults with Krishna, try to find faults with Ram, try to find faults with Sita, try to find faults with, you know, every good character. In the Ramayana, when Bharat, when Bharat condemns his mother for her bad activity, he comes from his uncle's place and Manthara, she is sitting there, not moving around, like a main boss of the Ayodhya. she is hunchback, looking ugly, and on top of that there is a decoration, makes her more ugly. So she is moving around, and everybody is suffering because of separation from Ram and separation from Dasharatha Maharaj, and Kaikeyi sitting without having any feelings. Again, she could not understand. She couldn't understand her son. She couldn't understand her husband. She couldn't understand Ram, whom she loved so much. She had so much affection for Ram. She couldn't find faults with Ram. She had a conflict between making her son as the king and making her son king, means sending Ram away, even though she loved Ram. When Bharat came and he came to know that how his mother was responsible for this, he disowns her. He blasts her. He chastises her. Now, what do you expect of Bharat to do? Now, Ram is not an ordinary person. Ram is the personality of Godhead. Just because she is your mother, there is a rule in the Shastra. Even if a mother is a debauchee, if you come to know that she is a debauchee, one should perform last rites to her. That is Shastric injunction. But that doesn't mean that you have to justify her wrong activities. So Bharat is condemning mother for her wrong activities. And there are scholars that write, whatever happens, you know, one cannot condemn. Bharat has no rights to condemn his mother. So bringing their stupid arguments, which has no relevance or which is no standing in the scripture. Therefore, the approach of studying Shastra is not based upon studying Shastra from a textual point of view. Studying Shastra requires the proper disposition, the disposition of non-envy. Non-envy means what? Not being threatened by others. Why some religious people are so violent? Unfortunately, because they feel that they'll be extinct. They'll be over. No, in one place they may not be flourishing, so they'll come in another place and try to do everything to increase their number. And how do you do it? The way to convert people is to blast the religion which you are practicing. This is not... No follower of a Vedic scripture would ever do that, and he should never do it. Because what is the sign of being God conscious? This is what in the 10th chapter Krishna is speaking to Arjuna. The sign of being God conscious is, can I see God in others' practice? Can I see my Lord in others' practice? Can I see my Krishna? Can I see my Ram in others' practice? When I can see that, even Hanuman, you were so loyally worshipping Ram, he could see Ram in his Krishna. He could see that. Why? Because ultimately there is no difference between Ram and Krishna. The Supreme Personality of Godhead Ram, to please his devotees, he performs the pastime which are pleasing to them. And the same Lord performs the pastime as Krishna to please his devotee. Ultimately they do not perform pastime in this world for their own sake. They don't have to entertain themselves. They attract their devotees and perform pastimes in such a way that all of their devotees are attracted to them. So for a sadhaka, for the practicing spiritualist, if we have this ability to see God in everything, see that there is the original father and everybody else is family member, then we don't find any discrimination. Therefore, here in this verse, which says, I am nijah paro vyaktihi. This is mine and this is others. And that what belongs to others will also become mine. What is it? This is ganana lagu chetasa. Ganana, this calculation is lagu chetasa. And then udara charitanam tu. Udara charitanam means, what is the character of the liberal people? Vasudhaiva kutumbakam. That everybody is of the same family. When we come to this approach, by practicing Krishna consciousness, why do we rigorously practice our path, our process? So that we can come to this conclusion. When we come to this conclusion, any sane person who is sane, who is fed up with so-called sectarian religion, who is fed up with fanatical practices, they'll say, oh, here is the path. What is this path? This path opens my heart. makes me larger in my understanding. Therefore, Krishna on the battlefield, this is the culture we were discussing in our afternoon class. Now, Arjuna is on the other side, as a Kshatriya, and his guru Dronacharya on the other side. And they are fighting with each other. Now, fighting is not like cats and dogs fighting. They are Kshatriyas, they are warriors. The battle, you know, it's a very artistic. So when Arjuna, this was during the fight just before the Kurukshetra battle, when the Pandavas are in incognito and the Kurus were waiting to capture them before they could complete the incognito. And they stole the cows of the Virata king. And Virata's son, Uttara, he tried to attack. And seeing the army, he lost his Kshatriya spirit only. He said, I don't want to fight with them. So Arjuna took over. He said, I will fight. And Arjuna was cursed to become eunuch. It is not that he has dressed like a eunuch. He was actually turned to be eunuch. The whole body has changed. Now Arjuna is far away from his teacher Dronacharya. And he is coming to attack Dronacharya. And what does Dronacharya do? Dronacharya sees his disciple and keeps on glorifying Arjun. He said, this is Arjun, I know. This is nobody but Arjun. So there is a respect, there is appreciation of a guru towards his disciple, even though he's on the other side. And what does Arjuna do? Arjuna knows that Dronacharya did not speak anything when Draupadi was disrobed. They were sitting silently. But he tells Uttar Kumar, you see that personality? That is my teacher. And he glorifies his teacher. He glorifies his teacher. And then he comes closer. He shoots two arrows. One close to his ears and one at his feet. Why at the ear? Seeking permission. Why at the feet? Seeking blessings. Now this is called as battle. In Kurukshetra there was a battle, but within that battle there was a great culture. The culture of respect, the culture of seeking blessing. And Dronacharya's hair stood on end. He became greatly satisfied. Now in Vedic culture, on the battlefield also, they can practice the culture of respect. Just imagine how much more we have to do when we are practicing actual spiritual culture. When we are chanting Hare Krishna, when we are worshipping the deity, where is the question of fight? There cannot be question of fight. If Arjuna and Dronacharya can practice this culture on the battlefield, how much more we have to practice? The ability to see God, the ability to see others' God consciousness. And how can we see that? By practicing the path which has been given by Lord Chaitanya with great vigor and great intensity. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram, Hare. That's the greatest opulence of a devotee. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya told Ramananda Roy, this painting is there, when Ramananda Roy could see Lord Chaitanya as God. And he said, my Lord, you are that same Supreme Personality of Godhead. You are the same Krishna. And Lord Chaitanya just casually, he said, oh, Ramananda Roy, that is the vision of a Mahabhagavat. What is his vision? Stavara jangam na deki stane stan. He said, a great devotee of the Lord does not see moving and non-moving. What does he see? He sees Ishta Dev Hoi Spurti. He sees his own Ishta Dev, his desirable object, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Lord Chaitanya casually said, that is the sign of a Mahabhagavat. He can see his God. What to speak of seeing in me? You can see God in dog also. Not that dog is God, but he has the ability. Vidya Vinaya Sampane Brahmani Gavi Hastini Suni Chaya Sopakecha Pandita Samadarshana. The conclusion is that our path is not exclusive. Our path is not unscientifically inclusive. That anything you do, it's all God consciousness. Not like that. It is not only exclusive. It's a middle path. That you have your process given by the Shastra, given by the teachers, we follow rigorously so that we can develop the art of seeing God everywhere in everything. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments? Yes.
Thank you very much, Prabhuji, for enlightening us with the correct understanding of secularism. Prabhuji, I had this question that you explained in Labhu Chetasam. People think that this is my land, so this is very great. Those who are outside may think, oh, why India? Because of envy, they may think, why God appeared only there? And you explained that, oh, great demons were here. But the question remains same. Why great demons were here?
The demons were also there outside. Still there are there, outside also. As we discuss, that the Supreme appears in different culture differently. But in the Vedic scriptures, in the Vedic concept, in the Vedic Shastras, the explanation is given in such a way. One of the great thinkers, he said Varnashram is there on the universal platform also. What is Varnashram? Varnashram means Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. A Brahmana means one has a higher intelligence to understand the higher levels of truth. So there is, within a family also, we can see that, like in the fifth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the sons of Bharat, right? Rishabh, the son of Rishabh Dev. Some of them were Kshatriyas, some of them were Brahmanas, some were Paramhamsas, Nava Yogendras. They were sons of Rishabhdev only, but they practiced fully the path of Paramhamsa. And then Bharat, he was a Kshatriya. So within that family, they were a Kshatriya and Brahmana. If you read the genealogical table, which is not there all in the Bhagavatam, in other Puranas are also there. In one family only. Our Kashyapa Prajapati. Not only human beings came from him. Even other living entities also came. The origin of living entities, not only this four human society, others also coming, is there. So therefore, when you see from a global point of view also, that in this part of the world, there is a natural inclination to practice spiritualism. The body is formed in such a way that there is a greater facility for practicing spirituality. Like a body which is made, which is suitable for sense gratification, naturally has less facility for spiritual inclination. Why it is made like that? But at the same time, there is also facility, that I said in the beginning. Commonly it may be there, but whenever something easily available, that is also misused. Kind of blasphemy, kind of agnostics you find in India, you don't find anywhere. People may be sinful. 80% of Americans still believe in God. It's a land of sense gratification, but still 80% believe in God. And in India, some of the most atheistic class of people you find amongst the highly intellectuals only. So therefore, within the creation, why it is like that, scientifically I may not be able to explain to you, but wherever there is a greater facility, there are greater challenges also. Along with the facility comes the responsibility. There are rights, there are responsibilities, and there are risks. Rights, responsibilities, and risk. So in India, why? I can't explain. I don't want to say, because this is a special land. You know? Yes, there is a facility, but there are risks also. When we were not exposed to Prabhupada's books, like I always tell, that there are certain characters in the Mahabharata, the way they are glorified, basically according to Vyasadeva, they are demons. But people have cried, they have condemned God, they have condemned Krishna, they have condemned Arjun. This could never happen. People are confused in the outside world, but not condemned. And who is condemning? Those who knew Mahabharata. Therefore, greater facility involves greater risk also. Greater facility involves greater rights also. So you can't say that, you know, it's a great advantage here. No, advantage is there, but along with the advantage comes the risks also. So similarly, in other place there may not be such great facility, but there is not such great risks also. There may not be great rights also. So there is a limited knowledge, but limited risks. But still, God provides. You know, God provides. He may not have given the full explanation. Somebody asked, one of Prabhupada's God brother said, you know, in every religion, is there a facility for a progress? When you say this is the limit of your spirituality, that is very risky and dangerous. Because there is, you can't conclude, this is the limit of my advancement. There is no limit how far you can go in spiritual realization. Why? Because you are dealing with the absolute truth, who is limitless. He has got limitless qualities, and spiritual qualities are limitless. You can't say this is end. I got full 100% perfection of qualities. Not possible. And at the same time, you can't say this is the limit of my fall down. There is no limit how far you can go down, and there is no limit how far you can go high. So in our perception, in our experience, the land of India is called a place of dharma. From the relative point of view, again it's a relative point of view, it is a better place for those who want to seek spiritual culture. But at the same time, you know, there is a risk also. You may be misled. And other places, because the ability to grasp is not there, therefore there is one path. Okay, just do it. Forget everything else. Just worship one God, forget everything else. In India, because there are big philosophers, there are scholars, there would be debate, there is many philosophy. Radhana Maharaj explains in one place. Even though there were many paths, there was Shaiva, there was Vaishnava, there was Durga, there were Ganapatya, there are Sauryas. Their debate was only philosophical. There was no battle. The battles would be fought between two kings because of political reason, but not because of religious religion. Rarely, for the religious reason, there would be hardly any fight. They would have debates, but they would sit together, eat together, and discuss for 21 days on which philosophy is better. But then, when people start having battles on religious ground, then the whole purpose of religion was destroyed. Therefore, in that sense, India is the land of, you know, India is called as the Brahminical country. So therefore, there will be naturally more philosophies, more discussions. And the very Brahmanas, as I discussed, you know, could create. Now, where does Ravan come from? Ravan comes from a Brahmin family. He's not a Dravidian. Now, in South India, all these AIADMK, DMK, all the Tamil people, they think that Ravan is a Dravidian and Ram is Aryan. Now what the Britishers left us, now these are the Dravidians and these are the Aryans. And actually they believe when the Ramayana was going on, Radha Gopinath Prabhu court, there was a court case by some South Indian saying that no, you cannot be showing Ram as superior to Ravan. This is unfair. No, because Ravan is Dravidian and therefore you are showing that Aryans are better than Dravidian. And in Ramayana, Ravan chastises Vibhishan, you anarya. He is calling Vibhishan that you are not Arya, I am Arya. Now they don't read Ramayana and they fight. You know, he is Dravidian. Just see where it can go, to what extent. And this can only happen in India. There is no such thing as Dravidian and Aryan. This was a divide and rule. Britishers divided from every aspect, not only politically also. Religiously, geographically. Before independence, you know, someone who is living in Bombay region, someone who is living in Madras region could learn 5 languages, no problem. It may be Tamil is mother tongue, but you could speak 4 languages. So who are progressive? But after being in India, getting independence, there was a specific division. Maharashtra means only Marathi. Amchi Marathi. Now what is this nonsense? Someone in Karnataka will only say, I will only learn Kannada. That is another nonsense. The Bengali will only speak Bengali, not Hindi. So what is it? it shows lack of culture. So after being independent, India got divided more culturally, and more fights took place, and they were very happy. So if you see from that point of view, you know, Britishers gave education so that we can speak English. Hope we had spoken in Sanskrit. But what happened with English language? English language is there, but such a division has taken place. Therefore, our Nandanandan Prabhu's talks we should hear. You know, crime against Indian culture or Vedic culture. We understand more about this. Hare Krishna. Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai.